Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You got Matt McMullen, Chiefs senior reporter. We enjoyed that. What does that entail? Senior reporter, do you feel older? I don't know if you've always had the title senior reporter.
Yeah, as opposed to the junior reporter.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Like when I turn 30, all of a sudden it's like you're now the senior reporter. The funny thing is I don't really get into titles, but the reality is if you do what I do, if you ever want to get promoted, there's no like coordinator and manager of team reporting or director of team reporting. So you have to make up a title. So that's all it is. But yeah, I'm the senior team reporter at 31. We'll see what happens in 10 years.
You got to add another. What's the title? What do you add to the title after this? You should have like czar, Demetrius? You know?
I don't know.
Add like. You got to add some cool titles to it, you know? There's a lot of choices.
I'll work on it. For now, I'm just an elderly team reporter. So,
yeah. God, 31 starting to feel elderly. Elderly? You're in between, I guess. You're like the second youngest here. Drew still got you beat.
There we go.
Drew still hadn't even hit that 30th birthday yet, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was at the Royals game last night, and seeing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting, I'm like, man, I just feel so
They got old. A bunch of – I mean, Bo Bichette's on the team. I mean, they got a bunch of former big leaguers, kids on this team.
Kevin Biggio, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, Biggio's kid in there.
Yeah.
Their entire – that's actually – in major, like it's happening more in football now. Like it started to occur more in football, like Marvin Harrison Jr. getting ready to get drafted, or Frank Gore Jr. They're all going to be
Jerry
drafted
Rice's
this year.
Son.
Jerry Rice's. So like a whole slew in baseball. That's been the thing for a while. Turns out, just drafting the kids of former professional big leaguers, pretty successful model. Royals, it's working with Bobby Witt Jr.
But all on one team. I mean, that's what's crazy. The Blue Jays is unique because it's just there's three or four of these guys that all happen to be on the same team. As well, you mentioned the Royals game though. You brought your dog. It was Bark at the Park. We offered. You were the invite was out. We didn't know if you were going to bring the dog. What was the name of your Pip?
Pippin is her name.
Pippin. Yeah. I didn't know if you were going to bring the dog into the studio.
I just don't know if Pip is ready for the big time. Mm. You know,
your former coworker Pete Sweeney brought his dog in once, and he didn't even tell us he was doing it.
Yeah, he put the picture on Twitter. See, Pete's dog is probably much more better behaved than mine. Pip, I was pretty amazed at how well she did at the game. But if she was here, she'd be bolting around the office, like she'd be eating papers. It'd be a disaster.
I'll say my dog would be barking eventually. How does that work? I've never done the Bark at the Park though.
It's
out
so
at the
funny.
K. Do they not play? Like, I don't know if there weren't any like multiple home runs or anything, but do they not do fireworks because the dogs are out and stuff?
Yeah. So it's all designed to make sure the dogs are okay and happy and everything. It's a hilarious experience. It really is, because you have to go in a certain gate and all the dogs are in one section. So you're just surrounded by people with their dogs, and like, you know, I've been to 1,000 baseball games, but it's so weird to see just people walking their dogs into the game, and then someone has like a 70-pound bulldog on their lap while they're eating nachos. It just all feels so counterintuitive, but it's hilarious.
Like, this feels like a weird. And then they always announce the attendance. They're like, "All right, we had 17,000 of the K tonight, and 482 dogs."
Well, you have to buy a ticket for your dog. You have to.
Like a full price ticket?
I think it's a little bit discounted, but you buy a ticket and a seat for your dog. Like when we walked in, we had to scan 3 tickets.
Oh, man.
It's so funny.
All right, fair enough.
And the best part is last year we went, it was the first time I ever went, they had a giveaway where it was like a little dog hat. So we put the hat on her this time, and at first she didn't want to wear it, but after a while she did. And a dog wearing a hat is just the funniest thing ever.
Before we get to the Chiefs draft, I do have to ask you one more thing. There has been a person on the text line for three consecutive months demanding this show go on the road to the zoo.
Okay.
I know your wife works for the zoo. Can we make this happen?
Absolutely. I'm trying to bring Kansas City institutions together. All right, so 100%. If you want to watch
Kansas
the
City Institution,
you sure are.
Or just like the station, like 610.
I think that we've been asked that. I don't know, like you said, it's probably once a week at least. There's a text that comes in, so we want to put us by
the
penguins.
We just do from the new aquarium.
Yeah,
penguins are good.
There's a bunch of things you could do. The aquarium is incredible. If you guys haven't been out there,
haven't seen it yet,
it's really really cool, and it's awesome because it's not like a standalone thing that you have to pay for. Like if you go to the zoo, you can just go in the aquarium. So
I think
right
now they're so busy, you gotta get a reservation, but
it was for a while. But if you go especially on a weekday, you can just walk in there. Nice. Maybe you have to wait 5 minutes if it's really busy, but it's not too bad. So it's worth it. So I think
just put in a good word.
Show. Yeah,
I spoke to your wife once, not knowing it was your wife, when this show was trying to get a monkey named after George Karloftis. We wanted to name one Furious George, and her response was great. She just said, "Look, I brought it up in a meeting, but they have names and they're kind of fond of them. So we can't really just rename them for you." Which makes sense, in fairness. But doing a show, though, that's different. They'd probably let us do that.
I think so. I'll put out some feelers at dinner tonight.
We'll follow back up with that. We got Matt McMullen, chief senior reporter, joining us in studio. So what's your feel right now? Everybody's trying to speculate on what's going on. Chiefs have picked 32. Just in general, what direction and kind of what field do you think the Chiefs are going in tomorrow night?
Well, it's exciting because I think the way this draft shapes up is if you look at where it's deep, which is wide receiver, obviously, but also maybe tackle. Maybe defensive tackle, maybe corner. Those are all areas the Chiefs maybe could address. So I don't think it's a situation where the Chiefs have to take a certain position, and if there's a run on that position in the early 20s, they're in trouble. I think it's a situation where they can let the board fall to them, and there's going to be a really good player at 32 if they want to stay there. And I don't know what position it's going to be at, but it's going to be a situation where this team will get better because of it. And in the past, maybe, I think about 2021, you got to fix the offensive line. Right. And you got to hope that maybe there's a guy right there at 31. And if there isn't, you're in trouble. I don't feel that way this year. I think that this is a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls. They obviously can get better. There's areas that can improve. But wherever they decide to go, I think it's going to be a player that maybe we all thought would be taken at 25 or in the 20s. And all of a sudden they're there at 32. Because every year there's 50 guys all of a sudden who are first-round picks,
sure.
Right? And there's going to be, I think, a really good player at 32. And who knows? If someone slides into the mid-20s that no one expected, maybe they try to move up. But it's going to be interesting for sure.
When you look at the position, if they just had their pick of the litter, all right, we get to choose our position to fall in the draft. It's tackle, though, right?
Well, Brett Veach talked about that the other day, talking about the value of this draft. And in his mind, obviously at receiver, it's very deep. And it goes into the second and the third round. Maybe even at corner as well. But offensive tackle is the area where it's really great early and maybe tapers off a bit. So in my mind, and this is just my opinion, if one of those top five offensive tackles fell into the mid-20s.
It was 22 and they were still sitting there.
I think you have to think about it. And it was a situation with Trent McDuffie a couple years ago. That's a player that they had on their board in the top 12, and he slides all the way down to 21. You make a move for him. But it takes different factors. You have to have a team that's willing to work with you. And also, you have to be able to have the ammo to get up there. If one of those five tackles fell into the early 20s, wouldn't surprise me at all if they did that. But if not, you, again, don't have to force it.
Who are the five, I guess? So Joe Alt's one. He'll be nowhere near their draft pick. He'll be in the top 10. Are Tyler Guyton, are those types in the top five, the guys that we think are, or Sua Mataiea, are those the ones that we're expecting that maybe will be for sure in the first round now versus maybe for a while they were projected somewhere between 20 and...
Yeah.
Well, J.C. Latham is one of those guys that will likely be gone. You have the kid from Washington will be gone.
Yeah.
I'm blanking now on the other guys. But I would say Sua Mataiea will likely be there. Amarius Mims is a player that likely could be there from Georgia. Tyler Guyton could be there in the late 20s or the late 30s. So it's possible that those guys could be available. It's just a matter of who they like.
Oh, Fuaga. That's one of the
Fuaga,
guys.
Fuaga,
the guy from Penn State, too. Fashanu or whatever.
Oh, Fashanu. Yeah.
Another tackle that... Again, it's so funny, Matt. We were talking about this that we all say that guy's gonna go, and we're basing that off of
groupthink,
groupthink, right? And we're basically sitting there on tomorrow night, and it's pick 20, and a guy that everybody said was supposed to go, you know, the top 15 is still on the board. And we're like, what the hell is everybody doing? And he ends up falling to the second round. I mean, there was a tackle last year. Was it DeJuan Jones, I think?
Yep, from Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yep. And everybody, and I thought the Chiefs maybe were going to take him at 32. He ends up falling to like the third round. You know, so we always have to remember the group thing when it comes to some of these positions and some of these players. But is there a player that you, I know you and Mitch have like, you know, just all this information on these prospects, basically. I don't, Mitch actually does have a binder, I feel like, of all these prospects. We were joking about that last segment. But is there a player that you've kind of, I guess, fallen in love with a little bit?
Well, shout out to Austin Woodard, first of all. He's the one that makes that binder for Mitch every single year. He does that in his free time, and he makes Mitch this Chiefs-focused draft guide. It's amazing. It's like 1,000 pages, and Austin will be with us all weekend.
I've seen it. It's just, yeah,
it's amazing. So shout out to you, Austin. You're the best. For me, there's a couple players. So I still really like Adonai Mitchell from Texas, and I know there's been like some weird stuff out there over the last like couple weeks, but I just...
Like his diabetes is going to prevent him from being a good wide receiver?
I don't buy any of that. And right. I watch him on the field, and I see a player with really good size, excellent speed, and production, and a player that could fit right away in the Chiefs offense. So Adonai Mitchell, if he was there, I'd be super interested. A player that I don't know if he's getting much first-round buzz, but I think he could go in the first round, is Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
That's my guy.
He's a player I've just fallen in love with over the last several weeks just because I get he had the 1 year of production. I almost look at that as a positive because you think about college football nowadays with like NIL and transfer rules. So many players like him, if they're not getting the ball as a sophomore or a junior, they're going to transfer and go somewhere else. But he kind of waited his turn. He developed as a player in the same place for years, and then it paid off with a monster season last year. And again, the size and speed. I mean, being 220 pounds, running like a 4.39, one drop last year. I watch him on slants break away from corners and have like 60, 70-yard touchdown receptions. I mean, that's the kind of thing this offense could use, an explosive player. So he'd make a lot of sense to me.
I think it speaks to how deep the draft is that he's available at 32. Like, normally you'd be like, well, only 1 year of production, like size and speed-wise. I mean, those guys usually go way higher.
Yeah, the one thing I wonder with him is, just does he fall? Like, can you get him, like, if you were to trade back, you trade back and you still are able to get him in the second round? I don't know. I just wonder. He also seems like the, hey, you didn't get DK Metcalf, all those, you know, all the talk about that for many, many years. Like,
take another freakazoid.
It seems like, are you going to pass up another maybe freak type of athlete if he's there again at 32?
I imagine if teams could go back, they probably would.
Well,
take DK Metcalf higher.
There was an article, I can't remember from where, but Brett Veach basically kind of admitted a little bit, one of his few regrets in the draft, because he's been hitting on all these picks here recently, but was like most teams did, which was pass on DK Metcalf.
Well, I think a lot of us, because like that draft is even different than this one, because I think there were maybe like five wide receivers who went before DK Metcalf because the drafts weren't as deep as they are now. There might be, by the time you get to Leggett, there'll be like seven guys who get drafted before him, or six guys. What's the over-under? 6.5?
For wide receivers
in the first round? So, I mean, there might be 7 or 8 wide receivers taken before he goes, and you're like, at 6 foot, what is he, 6'1", 2"?
He's 6'1", 221 pounds.
I think college was him like 6'6", so we got to like pay attention to like, you know, well, they're always a little off. But
whenever I do my draft stuff, it's funny how much the information differs wherever you look. So my favorite draft guide is Dane Brugler from The Athletic.
Yeah.
That's like the Bible for me during this time of year.
I think most people in the industry just respect that he's put it together in a detailed way that everyone can follow.
And how deep he goes. I mean, he'll have guys on there that won't even make it to rookie mini camps in his draft guide. So it's amazing. But he'll have their actual height and weight. Like if you go to like South Carolina's website, you're right. It's going to say he's like 6'4".
Yeah, he's 6'1", 221 officially though.
Yeah. Exactly. But
just can't help himself.
He's a guy that I like a lot. And you're right that I think in previous years, you're going to have a player like Leggett maybe going 20th overall. But now if he's like the 8th best receiver in the draft, all of a sudden he might be available in the second round. Troy Franklin's another guy that is more one-dimensional in terms of what he can do right now. He's kind of just like a burner, like a go route kind of guy at this moment. You can find a use for that player, but I think he goes easily in the first round in previous years. But because it's so deep at receiver this year, he could be available in the second round too.
Yeah, Franklin in the second round, I'd be more on board with. I don't really have much interest at 32. You mentioned like none of these, other than, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., none of these guys don't have flaws, right? Like there's a reason why someone might be available at 32. There's obviously some question about them, but Franklin, he doesn't. We joke about ball, you know, deep ball tracking, basically, and being able to high point the football and being able to judge that, and how it's something maybe the team has struggled with recently. That's one of the knocks on Franklin. That's what scares me about him a little bit more than some of the other particular wide receivers. Looking at just the teams around 32 with Kansas City. You mentioned this, Matt, that you know maybe a trade-up scenario. Brett Veach acknowledged it. I think it's a real thing, which is his team's not willing to work with the Chiefs, though. And does that make this even more challenging for them to go up if there's a wide receiver, if there's a tackle that they like?
Well, I think he mentioned that there's like a premium to be paid if you want to trade with like Buffalo or Cincinnati or Baltimore.
It sounded like he
was
more willing to pay it than in previous years.
But I also understand why those teams do it. I look back to the Orlando Brown Jr. trade, and around the league, everyone's like, why are you helping them? You know, and I understand it. There are a series of NFC teams kind of in the early 20s that I think would probably be more willing to trade with the Chiefs because, like, why not? But it'll be interesting to see. These are one of those things where Brett kind of explained it. They go through all of their checks and everything like today and yesterday, and they're calling teams or trying to figure out just like, are you at all willing to move off of this? Is your phone working? Do we have the right number? Stuff like that. And we'll see how it transpires. But I really think it depends just how the board falls. And every year, weird stuff happens where all of a sudden players that we all kind of thought maybe would be available at 32 are going at 15 and 16, but that bumps other guys down. So we'll see just how it plays out. But we know Brett is always eager and ready to make a move if it makes sense, but you got to make sure you have the right trade partner.
Are the phones working at One Arrowhead Drive? Have you verified that all the phones are properly working?
I'll confirm the phones are working.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Who's making I was seeing the other day, I was thinking about the draft because Vinny was trying to make a pitch. Did you see? Vinny wants to make a pick for the Jets.
Oh, yeah. And he's in Detroit.
Because he's going to be in Detroit for a game. Mm-hmm. So come on, just let me, you know, like, I'll be around because they play night games. Like, I'll be around on Friday. Just let me make a third round pick.
Have the Jets first pick at number 10 overall, and Vinny Pasquantino goes on stage. It'd be epic.
Look, I don't think they'll let him do the first pick, but, you know, second or third round at that point is probably fine. They love the celebrity pickers now for mm-hmm. the draft. It makes a lot of sense. One thing we had talked about yesterday is Brett Veach's propensity to take guys off of his top 30 list. Pretty common that Brett Veach finds somebody. And sometimes it's the first round guy, and sometimes it's the seventh round or undrafted. Are there guys off of that list? Because I know you pay attention the way we do. Are there guys off that top 30 list that you're like, I could see why Brett Veach is interested in him? Because one thing that stood out to me was running back. They visited a lot of them, and I don't think that they're going to shy away from that position.
The top 30 visits are always difficult to decipher because we don't know exactly why they're visiting. So sometimes it's just a matter of they didn't have enough time at the combine to speak with them. And the combine is like a feeding frenzy of you're trying to talk to as many guys as you can, and you only have during the informal interviews like 10 minutes with them. If you want more information, you didn't
sometimes
have a
chance
you
said it's
to
just
really
like
connect.
A like just to check out an E or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And also the guys that aren't at the combine, you have a chance to, like you said, get medical work done when you have them come in. So a lot of times those top 30 visit guys are guys that maybe they're not going to draft, but they'll be like priority free agents that they'll bring in later on. And they have just a more comprehensive idea of who they are. But I try to figure out like a narrative and a pattern with the top 30s. I can never really figure it out. Every year it seems
like, I just know
like,
he takes some.
Yeah, there's like three or four from the top 40s that end up being Chiefs. But I think it's for a variety of reasons. It's not just because these are the only guys they're interested in. I think it's a matter of we want to figure out more information on these guys.
Matt McMullen, Chiefs senior team reporter, joining us in studio. I'm going to keep mentioning senior reporter.
Not the junior reporter.
No, senior reporter for
were
the
Chiefs.
Were
you ever junior reporter or just reporter?
I was never the junior reporter. Just the team reporter. And then all of a sudden, I turned 30. Like I said, and
they bumped you up, man.
Yeah.
Hey, that works. Have you paid much attention to any of the local kids? Because we know last year the Chiefs had 32 draft Felix and Udike Uzama. There's a couple local kids from KU, K-State, and Missouri that some could be drafted very high, including Robinson out of Mizzou, Cody Schrader maybe a little bit later on. Is there anybody out of that group that stands out that perhaps could be a good fit for the Chiefs?
Sure. Darius Robinson would make a lot of sense. Yeah. So being 285 pounds, but the flexibility to play on the edge and as a defensive tackle, that sounds like a Steve Spagnuolo defensive lineman, doesn't it? With how he loves moving
around.
When
he was like
around.
A third round guy when he came out, and he's already definitely in the first round range.
He's one of those players that I don't know where he's going to go. You'll see projections where he goes maybe in the 40s or 50s, but also in the 20s. Yeah. So it's a matter of if a team falls in love with them, but he can make a lot of sense. And also Ben Sennett from K-State is a player I like a lot at tight end. Obviously, Brock Bowers would be like a pipe dream. He'd be incredible in Kansas City, but he's probably going top 12. But Ben Sennett is a player that is really interesting because of what he was able to do at K-State. Awesome story. He was like a walk-on at K-State, ended up being one of the greatest players in Wildcat history. But his ability to force missed tackles, to be a playmaker after the catch, he'd make a lot of sense here too.
I was trying to think about, would Brock Bowers, Nate Taylor brought this up with us yesterday. If he fell to 15, he said he's one of the guys he hears could fall. Let's say he's just sitting there at 15. Would you be willing to trade up for him?
Depends how much it costs, right? I mean,
let's just say standard draft chart trade value. You don't have to overpay. You got to give up the numbers, which I think would be a second. I looked this up. A second this year's first and a second and a third round. Or 2 seconds. A second this year, a second next year.
I'd think about it. The tricky thing with this is, like, obviously, because I grew up a Chiefs fan, right? The Chiefs fan part of my brain is like, yes, do it right away.
That sounds fun.
But also, one of the reasons the Chiefs have been able to sustain all the success beyond just Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones is finding players later in the draft. In a seventh round pick, if you trade it, doesn't sound like a big deal. But if you say we're trading Isaiah Pacheco
or Jalen Watson.
Yeah. So the Chiefs' ability to find these contributors later in the draft, I think, makes me a bit more weary of trading up than maybe it would in the past.
Yeah. I mean, we all know you give Brett Veach a couple more opportunities to make some picks, especially in the middle rounds or whatever. That has turned out very well. That's how you extend out the dynasty. That was the point I made yesterday. I'm 100% with you. That's where, like, definitely there was a hypothetical last week from NFL.com that said the Chiefs would trade to 9 or 10 and get Brock Bowers.
I said it was for Odunze, I'd do it.
Yeah. To trade up for a tight end, it would probably have to be 15th or later for me to even get on board with trading up. As much as I know everybody's excited about Bowers, if he's suddenly there at 18 or 19, then I start getting a little antsy and I start seeing what's up.
It's so hard with the Chiefs because you'd be like, I want to see Mahomes with elite weapons. I have seen that. He had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in the same offense, and Sammy Watkins was like the third guy. It worked pretty good. It turns out that was a fun offense. One of the most, you know, like in the year before, they were one of the single greatest offenses in NFL history. I know what it looks like. It's fun and I like it. But I also understand that they can win a multitude of ways. With Mahomes, the truth is, it always comes back to this one draft objective to me about giving up the picks. Because I don't disagree with you. Because they don't, like we said, like you shouldn't just dismiss this draft. Like, whatever, they're picking at 32. They got 5 picks, it probably won't matter. No, they, without taking Rashee Rice last year in the second round, they don't win the Super Bowl. The year before, they needed at least 3 of those players in order to win the Super Bowl. By simply just having a bad draft, they don't win the Super Bowl in either of those years. Or if they just miss on the most important one in Rice last year, they don't win it. But I also just understand that because of Mahomes, they can win 1,000 different ways. If I trade up to 9 and take Brock Bowers, they can definitely win that way. If you trade up to 9, they take Joe Alt. They can definitely win that way. If they just stay at 32 and take a defensive lineman or a corner, they probably still win the Super Bowl that way. It's hard for me to think that, like, everything's on the line with them sometimes. That's all.
I totally agree. And I just think, particularly if you look at the 2022 draft, this run of back-to-back titles doesn't happen with almost every player from that 2022 draft. They're not on the team. I mean, think about all the startups you got out of that draft, all the players that contributed and have been major, major playmakers for this team during this run. You got to, obviously, the first round gets all the hype, but you have to remember that Brett Veach and his front office, that we think is the best in the NFL, they really make their money on day 2 and day 3.
Before we let you go, Matt, if I were to set the over-under at 8.5 trades in the first round, were you taking the over or the under? Because I think we go into the draft and we always like, oh, there's going to be a ton of trades. We know there's going to be some. Do you buy, like Pete Schrager just tweeted out recently, he's hearing there could be as many 10 trades in the first round. What are you taking, over or under 8.5?
That seems like a lot. I'd go less than 8 personally. I think there'll be a handful, but
I could see it's like 5 or 6 easily, though.
Yeah, but
is there a Vegas line on that?
I'm sure. I just don't have them in front of me. But yeah, I'm sure there is.
That's a ton of trades. Like, I don't know. And I think especially you'll maybe see some movement at the top. But as you go, most teams are willing just to stay pat and pick where they are because of the premium it costs. And we'll see how the board falls, but 8 seems like a ton to me.
What I've learned about the draft is that there's so many teams who will just be like, they've already got their player picked down. They're like, nope, better make it worth it. Make it worth it. And they'll just call the bluff. If they don't come with one extra pick or the slight premium that they're asking for, they'll just make their selection. Whatever, it's fine. Like, they're willing to just wait out the bluff. They don't eventually be like, okay, fine, we'll just take what you were offering. They normally just make their pick, don't they?
This is also making me think about the movie Draft Day, though. You guys have seen Draft Day, right? That
one of the most realistic movies ever.
I mean, so...
Bang on, exactly what it looks like.
I enjoy Draft Day as, like, mindless popcorn entertainment, but watching it... So I'm a big fan of Moneyball, the movie.
Okay,
and what's interesting about Moneyball is it's pretty realistic in terms, because it's a true story. But I remember one time I was watching Draft Day with somebody, I can't remember who it was, and they're like, is this what it's really like inside the facility? I'm like, no, not at all. Like,
absolutely not.
Yeah, in no way. Like, this is fun, mindless entertainment, but in no way is this realistic. But you're right. I think that teams have an idea of the players that will be there. They have an idea of the direction they'd like to go. And if they can move off of their pick and maybe acquire more picks, they're into the idea. But I think most teams, unless they're trying to trade up for a quarterback or like a generational player they think is going to change everything for them, I think most teams are down to stand pat unless something crazy happens.
Matt McMullen, Chief Senior Reporter, kind enough to join us in studio. Busy day ahead for you, man. Thanks for coming in studio.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Excited to be done with speculation season here and actually do this thing for real tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.